again how we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Again, Father, we invite your presence here. We ask, Father, that you would grant wisdom to our commissioners today and the decisions that they make. We ask, Father, again, that you would bless our county, that you would bless our employees, Lord, that you would just guide us.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to call to order the Taney County Commission meeting for March 9th, 2015. First on the agenda, do we have any commission remarks? Monthly budget report.
Guys, I send you this and ask if you have questions and get any response back, so I assume you don't, but just to kind of go through it, we are, I did a total on the percentage, and right now the percentage of the budget remaining would be 86%, which is a little better than what we would expect after 2 months. Hopefully that trend will continue and we'll end up not spending as much money as what we had budgeted. Do you guys have any questions on any of that at all?
I do. Rick, does the bank payment that we're sending out today, is that not included in that?
It will not be, Danny. This is as of the end of February.
Okay.
So if it's going out today, it won't be in there.
Right. I mean, we're approving it today.
Yeah.
So it was a, you know, for the jail, it's a pretty big amount. So anyway, I guess that was my question on it.
And the 86% I gave you is general county revenue. The other funds you can look at separately. So, and that money does come out of another fund. It's out of the 550 account. Okay? So I don't know of any big expenditures that would have came out of GCR that would have changed that percentage right now.
The treasurer reports that as of Friday, our sales tax revenues are up 10.3%.
I looked at that this morning. Usually you can see some sort of a pattern. The last time we had as much sales tax in February as we did this year was, I think, 2009. 2009 was one of the worst years we had. Then I looked back, and February or January was a really good month for us, too, and I looked at that, and the last time we had as much sales tax in January as we did, it was, I think, 2011. We had a great year in 2011. So, I mean, you know, you would hope you'd be able to look at those, but I haven't in the 12 years I've been here been able to see any kind of pattern. As far as, I just don't know what goes on to get it there. But we are up now, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thank you.
Thank you.
Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks number 343183 through 343265 and warrant 6190 through 6195.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of payroll.
Go ahead, Danny. What's your favorite one?
That's my favorite one. Yeah, motion to approve payroll.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. North Star Financing.
Morning, Commissioner. I'm Max Lytle from
Taney County Developmental Disabilities Board. I'm standing in for Andrew Danner from North Star Housing. He's the development project partner with this apartment project. I believe Andrew had contacted your office. Let me just stop once you finish what you're doing.
No, that's all right.
Okay. All right. I know Andrew had contacted your office, wanting to know if there was a designee here at the county who was responsible for handling the community development block grant paperwork. Under the state law, we're supposed to have a designee of the public entity, which is either a county or a city, of course, that is responsible for that and makes it available to the public in the event that somebody in the future wants to see that. The last time, Danny, that my organization did any kind of CDBGs with the county was when we did the Tanton project back in 2010 and 11. And I thought we had an economic development officer on staff here at the county at that time. So I didn't have any involvement in it. And I really don't know if we still have that person or a person, or if I could make myself available to the commission to serve as your designee, since I work for a public entity of the county and you appoint my board of directors. I think we would meet the legal requirements in that we are a county entity, and I figured I'd be less likely to lose that paperwork than anyone else, since it's my project and I have to know where everything is.
We have a person that takes care of all the grants.
Okay.
And so before, when you were here and we did that, that was a part of searching for funds, and we had several grants that were out there, and we had a person designated at the time. I think Joan Chowning was the individual.
Yeah, I could not remember the
at
last
that
name
time.
Yes.
And Joan, that was during the money's being searched for different projects, all that. So this would be something that we would want to have. It's actually in the emergency management office.
Okay.
And she takes care of that for us. Melissa Duckworth takes care of all the grants for us.
Okay.
That's something that's required by the auditor. So if once we get this signed, we don't care that you want to take a copy of it, or we can have a copy of it, but she keeps track of those grants that we might be responsible
and
for.
Commissioners, I directed my comments to Danny because he was here in 2010 and 11 when we did the last project with my organization in the county, and you guys weren't yet elected at that time, so I thought you would have some history, you know, and you could help me work our way through this thing.
Yeah.
I'd be more than happy to allow your emergency management office to handle that. I just didn't know who that would be, and
right.
thought I could make myself available to the commission to serve in that capacity if it would be of your benefit.
Right. And I think it would be a good idea if you did have a copy of it, and we had the original or vice versa for responsibility for grant.
Okay.
Those are very...
Mm-hmm. What's that person's name?
Melissa Duckworth.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm sorry, Rick. All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Well, I just looking at the emails that are going back and forth between Nikki Lawrence's office and Andrew Danner and his partner, Lita Grubel, there were no signatures that needed to be secured this morning. I knew I needed to come and try to find out who that designated person would be, and I understand from Nikki's comments that you might need some information about this project, or a brief update, or a refresher on what we're doing as far as this community development block grant is concerned, and this Sing Street apartment project that I'm working on. And if I can do that for you, I'd be happy to do so.
Is this grant 100%, or is there a match involved?
It's $100,000.
Okay.
All right. And what it does is it provides then the funding for the development project, which is a nonprofit, it's a combination of both North Star Housing and a new nonprofit that's created by the Taney County Board for the Development of the Disabled to be the management partners. But it provides them with the money, $100,000, to buy that ground from the Taney County Board, which currently owns that, you know, your Taney County Board for Development Disabled. The Taney County Board for the Development Disabled has already said, and we've put this in our grant information, that we will take that money and designate that as rental assistance then for individuals who are going to live there, because low-income housing tax credit programs do not have any rental assistance with them like the HUD projects do. And the estimated low rent on one of these apartments would be like $385 for a single person apartment. That's about $150 a month more than what my current tenants pay at our two HUD apartment buildings. And so we were targeting some way to try and bring that rent level down to the same range that people currently pay in Dork and Weaver and Combe Redfern, the two apartment buildings that are next door to Tantone Workshop, so that people could actually afford them, because most of the individuals that I work with have a Social Security check and maybe another $100 or two at the most a month that they earn either working in the workshop or part-time in a grocery store or something like that. So they really can't afford $400 a month. 30% of their take-home pay is considered to be affordable, and on an income of $700 to $800 a month, that means you're paying about $250 a month in rent and utilities at the most. So we're targeting then to bring a $385 a month rent down to about $235, and that would be affordable. So that's what the $100,000 does then. It allows the management partner to buy the property from the Taney County Board for the Development Disabled, and then that money to be designated then for rental assistance pool, which would provide up to $150 a month for each individual, or as you know, there are six different apartments that are for families if they qualify for it and need it then.
So that's, it is 100%, it's 100% grant.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And is that, you're talking for 1 year, just 1 year?
Well, this, rental this, assistance? This is just a one time. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's 100,000 only.
All yeah. right.
No, I think what he's asking is a time frame for the rental assistance with the number of tenants that you have. Is that, how long is the $100,000 going to last you? That, I think, well, that's what you're asking.
The way that we projected it, because we've added to that, low-income housing tax credits, the Missouri Housing Development Commission will pay my agency for management services. And, of course, we have to do, like, the collection of rent and making sure that maintenance and is taken care of and bills are paid and things like that. And the Missouri Housing Development Commission will pay us to manage those apartments far better than HUD pays us, as a matter of fact. And we've determined that we can take about 75% of that of money every year and put that back into the rental assistance pool as well. So then we did a table and assumed that all 24 units needed $150 a month, and we projected that out to 25 years. So it will run at least that far.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a long-term goal, and it was one of the very initial questions that was asked by the folks up in Kansas City at the Housing Development Commission is, how are you going to do this, and how long is it going to run?
Right.
And we built the table and assured ourselves that we can make this work.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
I have next on the agenda inclement weather, snow policy.
Do we have a written policy on that? I would like to review that this morning and talk a little bit about it. I ask that this be put on here. I'd being here for a little while, I know that we've only closed the courthouse, I think, in the entire time I've been here, probably maybe four or five times that I know of. Well, I think once even last year, and then last Monday or Tuesday, whenever that was. But we always have a little bit of controversy about closing the courthouse. I visited with other counties. I called Webster County, and he had said that they had had a judge that ordered their courthouse one way or the other to be open when the other one had closed it, and it was always a controversy. I myself would like to maybe understand. I know the health and welfare of the employees is the thing has to be considered here. One of the things that in closing the courthouse, we pay the employees that work, as I understand it, we pay them double time. Is that right? The ones that have to work?
No, we don't. We don't pay them double time.
Okay.
We pay them for their regular 8 hours, and then if they work overtime, they get overtime.
Okay. Anyway, the as I visited with the other counties and everything, I found that we have a tremendous benefit package here at our county as compared to the ones that I visited with. We give 12 sick days a year, and those give six sick days a year. We give three personal days when they didn't give any. We also we have 12 paid holidays. We have the comp time that's available. We also have the personal days, sick days, comp time,
vacation.
Vacation time. Anybody that's here over, is it 3 years or after the first year?
After the first year.
After the first year, they get 2 weeks paid vacation.
1 week. 1 week.
1 week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, I know that their consideration, as I visited with them, and they said they would never close their courthouse again. So that, you know, they said that work was available to the employees if they wanted to come in, but nobody would be penalized if they didn't come in that day, and that they could draw one of their either personal days or their comp time or use a vacation day. They use three things that they worked off of. I'm just wondering how we proceed with this on future things. I know that I had people calling me that morning before it ever started to snow. It was raining at the house, and they wanted to know if we were going to close the courthouse. And I know that it rained up until about 9 o'clock or a little after, and then I received an email from Nikki or Shanna One that said that we had decided to close the courthouse, which was fine. If it's getting nasty enough that I think that there are circumstances where we need to close the courthouse, I'm not in favor of it myself. I think it should be, work should be made available, and the citizens should be able to come in. But that doesn't mean that the commission doesn't have the right, and I think that whenever it gets right so nasty that it's a hazard to the employee, different offices inside the courthouse can close their office and send their people home. I don't think we have any say-so over that, but I do know that closing the courthouse is strictly left up to the county commission. And so if...
Can I give a little bit of history how we came about this current policy? When the new personnel policy manual was adopted in February last year, it was exactly as what you have stated this other county did. If we closed, they had to use their personal time or their vacation time. After the ice storm last year, the commission revisited it and said that there were a lot of employees that haven't received their personal time yet. They haven't received any vacation yet if they were new employees, and they could not afford to take that day unpaid, and you were a little afraid that in a situation like that they might go ahead and try to come in and then maybe get in trouble on the highways. And so that's why it was made that employees that are scheduled to work on a day that the courthouse is closed will be paid for that day. If they weren't scheduled, like some part-time employees or something like that, they would not be paid. I've got a copy of Greene County's policy, and it's exactly as ours is. So that's just a little history on why we have decided we wanted to look out for their safety.
Right. And the main reason I brought this up, put it on the agenda this morning, is because Mike is the new presiding commissioner, been here a short time, and the ability to close the courthouse, I guess, lays within the county commission. So that's the reason I brought it up this morning, was so that we could discuss it, review the policy, and
sure.
Talk about if I don't see any need from what's wrote in here to change anything, but it does make it apparent that I wanted to emphasize on the amount of benefits that we do.
And you are absolutely right. We have a very generous package, and that our employees are very grateful for, I know.
I did receive word that when the ice started, that the judicial was closed by the circuit judge. So
they have the ability to close the courts. They have no ability to close the judicial facility.
Then what happens with the prosecutor's office if the courts are closed?
The prosecutor and the public administrator and all them, that's left up to their own office to close.
The only, just so you know, Mike, but they don't get paid. Unless we close it, they don't get paid. So they can close their offices. But,
right.
But in certain, I mean...
I understand.
Obviously, you and I decided to, I mean, and Danny was part of the conversation to go ahead and close the courthouse. So, because last week it got bad quick. So, anyway.
And I have no problem with the decision that was made. It's just the fact that there was conversation about closing the courthouse while it was still raining from the employees that were calling me. The conversation that the commission would have about closing the courthouse. If over the years that the public has a strange feeling about this, I've had those complainers in the public sector that complained because the courthouse was closed. When asked if they were coming to the courthouse, they said no, but they just didn't like the idea that the courthouse was closed. So, road and bridge has to be there, and their office answers calls and all those.
Building and grounds as well.
Building and grounds, and then I don't know whether the IT department has to be there or not. Do they have to have anything anyway, it's probably enough discussion on that. I just wanted to to bring it up so that we would have something on our mind in case next year or even later this year that something might happen like that, that we would be able to make a...
So Road and Bridge and the maintenance department, do they get any stipends for coming in and working while the courthouse is closed?
They get paid for their day. It was determined that that's how they hire on. They know that this is going to be that way. And I've actually had some of them say they would rather our people not be on the highways. So when they're out working it, they do get the time and a half because they end up working overtime. And
I know that I've been approached about they should get something for coming in during hazardous times. And so currently the policy is that the commission, all commissioners decide to close the courthouse, then it will close. If not, then it stays open, correct? And is that pretty much the way we want to keep the policy?
I think that's when I think the confusion related with what you stated there, Mike, about the judge closing the courts. When they close the courts, that doesn't mean that the courthouse is closed. It means that they have closed the courts of where people with the general public that comes and has to be there, subpoenaed in or whatever, have to be there. And so if they close the courts, well...
I understand. I just feel like if they're going to close the courts, it tells me it's an indicator that it's hazardous. So, okay.
Do we want to look at anything for those departments that have to come in?
You have to vote in their job description when they apply for the work that they have to be here during those work days.
Yes.
If you didn't have it in there, I would say that we have to look at something different. Now that you've got it in there and when they apply for the job, that makes a difference. I would like to check with some more counties and see how they are. I know Webster County told me that they paid double time for their people that came in.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. So, but they don't offer anything close to. I mean, most of the things that he gave me as far as sick leave and no personal days. They don't have anything near the package that we have for our employees. Their vacation time doesn't start anywhere close like ours does. So, unless you guys want to visit that issue later, or I didn't bring that up to be talking about the pay scale or anything else. I just wanted to bring this up to make everybody aware.
I just want to make sure I understand if Road and Bridge is coming in and working and maintenance is coming in while everyone else has went home because we closed the courthouse, are they getting some kind of compensation? Are they getting comp time?
They get basically just get our hours worked and that's the overtime. That's the way Road and Bridge is. I mean, we've got to be out there maintaining, clearing roads. They'll get the overtime. They're able to bank that up to 80 hours maximum comp. They get paid for time and a half, any overtime work, to basically.
There is a time limit on that, that they have to use that comp time, and I would like to see that extended.
I agree.
That's something that they have no control over, and once they build up a certain amount of time, and then we demand of them that they use their comp time within a certain period of time, Well, they have no control over the weather, and if they run long hours, and I know the boys were getting tired. I mean, this time, whenever they had one snow event and then had an ice event right after it and everything, the boys were getting tired. And the number of overtime hours that they have and the amount of time they've got to use it up in, I'd like to see that extended some.
I agree, and I don't think they should lose their comp time if they've earned it.
No, they won't.
You don't lose comp time.
They get paid for it.
I see.
Yeah.
What we done last year, you guys allowed us to go beyond the 80 hours and what the policy was written. Once they reach at 80 hours, anything built up after that, according to the policy, they should be paid for. And they have that 80 hours, they've got the rest of the year or next year or whenever. They can keep that for however long. We allowed them to go beyond that because last winter was so severe, just one storm after another, and they built up to double to almost triple that amount, and they were trying to take that off. Used some of that up between storms. We extended that twice, once into March, once into May, to get that used up, but then it hurt us in the long run because we didn't have enough people on hand because of the time they had to use this up.
Chip and seal and all that. There's a lot of things involved in that whenever it comes to road and bridge. The chip and seal needs to be started at a certain time. Would you guys be interested in looking at maybe extending that time out on the comp time? And
we've never really penalized them anyways, have we?
No.
We've always extended it.
It's just been a request from some road and bridge boys that we extend the time so that they can. But I don't want to interfere with the chip and seal and things like that. We have to consider.
Because they would rather have the comp time than have the paid out is the deal.
Uh-huh. They don't lose anything, Mike, if that's what you're thinking. They just got a check at the end of that period for the monies. So
you're talking about, when you talk about extending, you talk about adding, instead of the 80 hours, maybe increasing that.
Yeah, and extending the time used for using it up, Randy.
Okay.
Would you guys want to discuss that later time?
80 hours is what they can build up for comp time.
What's our current time limit?
Oh, I don't know that.
They generally, if they go over that and build up, if they don't want to be paid, they have to use that time before the next pay period before they'll pay it. Now, they can use a portion of that 80 hours and build back. I mean, there was no requirement as to how many times you could build up to 80 and use it.
Is right now, is it the 1st of May? Because that's what everybody that called me.
That was just last year. We extended into March, and we had storms in March, and they couldn't get the time used down to that 80-hour level, so we extended to May on just that.
Right, and I'm just wondering if that was...
There's nothing in the policy as to any timeline.
But I'm just wondering, Randy, I'm looking to you for help on this. Is there anything wrong with extending it till May?
If you let them build to basically a certain plateau,
take the comp time.
I wouldn't want it to go beyond May because there's a lot of prep work we need to do, and I always wanted to start chip seal in June. That gives us a little bit of time to get patching and everything else started. And I know I'll have the personnel at least on hand that they can have up to them to try to use some of that built up time.
Right. This all has to do with this inclement weather that's on the agenda, so we can discuss it. But are you guys willing or wanting to do that, or is that all right with you if we've done it in the past?
If it's all right.
I would just let Randy and then the sheriff decide what they want to do and let us know. It's going to affect those two offices the most.
The way the sheriff and road, that's two different. He has to run a certain lane. I mean, I can't operate the way he can.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work for them.
So I just let them, if they want to make changes, let them come back to us and we'll listen to them.
And possibly building the grounds.
Possibly building the grounds and I think maybe the sheriff's department, the prosecutor needs to get together and make sure we have investigators and stuff at times as needed. And so. But I'm not going to make a decision without knowing what their needs are.
Well, you three guys just know financially that the only time it makes a difference to the county is when you go from year to year.
Right.
Because then normally you're going to be paying all the raises. And just a real quick calculation, I don't know what you're talking there. Probably in Roden Bridge Department, you might be spending $8,000 a year to let them carry that from year to year. So just so you have to do it. Now, over the whole county,
as far as Roden Bridge, I could talk with the supervisor. We could come back with some kind of plan or guideline. Let you guys think about it and see if you want to put something in the policy that would work for basically us.
It would just be something that we would extend to the policy. The policy is already written, but we would extend it to that period of time. So I'm in favor of it myself, of extending it out. You just figure out what you need and bring it to us. If it's 1st of May and 100 hours or whatever you decide on that, you bring it to us.
Okay.
All right. We have next the University of Missouri Extension update.
So I brought with me our new 4-H youth specialist. This is Willa Williams. I know both of you, Commissioner Schofield and Williams, both got to meet her at our annual dinner. So Commissioner Strahan, this is Willa. She will be joining us and leading our 4-H program here in Taney County, Stone County, and also Christian County, but housed here in our office. So. If you want to talk about anything now. Or?
Oh, sure. She's going to let me go first this morning. So, good morning again, and it was good to meet both Commissioner Schofield and Williams this past week. So, you might have heard that in Taney County we're having our first annual Sporting Clays Fun Shoot on the 28th. So, if you do like sporting or shooting sports, we're having the Sporting Clays Fun Shoot, and it is for adults, even though this is 4-H. So come out. We're actually going to, or anybody else out there, if you like shooting sports, it's going to be at Ozark Shooters, and it is on Saturday the 28th, and I'm going to be out there. Or if you want to win some things, we're going to do that too. So I do have information here. But, you know, I'm a youth development specialist, and that's what we do in 4-H. We're sort of the youth development outreach of University of Missouri. And that's my job in these three counties, especially in Taney County. So I've been getting calls from parents and also when I go out and talk to the youth. And, you know, we talked about we have these clubs that are already established. But like this morning, I have a phone call from a parent and they want to know, how do I get my child involved in 4-H? So I'm going to call that parent back, and I'm going to tell them about the clubs that we already have. But I'm also going to say, you know, we can also start another club up. And these clubs are going to be tied to the fields of study that we have at University of Missouri. So I'm going to say you can be involved in horse clubs that we have, shooting sports clubs, nutrition clubs, after-school clubs. But I'm also interested in STEM, and that's science, technology, engineering, and math. And I talked about rocketry. I talked about photography. We talked about robotics. So if we want to start up another club, you know, I live in Branson. So, you know, if I can find a place that we can meet up in Branson, you know, we might start another club in Branson. And we sat at a table with Master Gardeners, and they really wanted to start a Junior Master Gardener club. We've got really excited Master Gardeners. So if we want to get kids involved in Master Gardeners, our gardening and start up a Junior Master Gardener Club too. So I could talk all the time. I know she has a big list, but you know, that's some of the things that I want to do. So hopefully you'll see a lot about 4-H. I have a really strong background in agriculture, but also in science and technology. So hopefully you'll see a lot of that in our youth and our youth programs.
What time on the 28th is the...
Is the clay shoot... You know, I might just give this...
9 a.m. 9 a.m.
Oh, 9 a.m. Oh, good. Okay, yeah, it is 9 a.m. And it's kind of set up... Have you ever done one of these before?
Not... I don't know.
It's kind of set up with these stations okay. over at Ozark Shooters, and we'll have someone sponsor a station, and so you just go to each one of the stations, and they'll have sort of a shoot at each one of the stations. So I'm kind of excited to go out, and there's a bingo raffle that we'll run as well to win a. And I don't know much about guns or shotguns, or so pardon me, but. There'll be a bingo raffle for a gun out there as well. And I know that Mike and Peggy that run it out there are really excited for the Sporting Clays Fun Shoot. Go ahead and pass this along.
You can keep that.
I wish you weren't so excited about it like you are. I'm thrilled to death that you've got this coming into the area, and each club has to report to you, I think. Do we have three now? We have three clubs
yes.
now. And like you said, you're anxious to open up other clubs. That would be, I think, getting the youth involved in a gardening or learning about how to do something themselves, the feeling they get from growing, if it isn't anything but a tomato plant with tomatoes on it, or a beef cow with a baby calf, or raising a calf, and you see the look on those youngsters' faces. We had four or five come in to the commission meeting here a couple of years ago, and it was unbelievable. You could see the excitement dancing around in their eyes, just the same way we see it in your eyes this morning. I'm glad to have you on board to take on this responsibility.
Well, thank you very much.
And I do appreciate that, because our youth do need to have things to do, and especially this summer when they're not in school. That's what worries me the most, is that there's just too many kids out there with nothing to do. So.
Well, I hope that we can start up some summer camps, some, you know, daytime summer camps, and that is something that we're concerned about, too, and, you know, hopefully there'll be grants or something else like that that'll help offset the costs, and, you know, I'm new to this area, so hopefully we can also find places, community centers that'll host us, and we can have these sort of day camps for youth as well.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate your work, and like I said, I do see a need for it, and I know that if you would communicate with the juvenile office over there, they would support you in any way they could. Scott Gilman, he's got some kids that need to stay busy. So.
Thank you.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's a great connection that we've not made, so thank you. For
uh-huh.
That's a good idea. We do have a lot going on here locally. One thing I'll also let you know, we have the Small Business and Technology Development Center here at our office. Each year, statewide, we do have an award. This year, we had someone from Taney County win that award for our region. Branson Travel Office won the 2015 Excellence in Missouri Business Award for Taney County. We're looking at their total economic impact as a business, and also kind of them growing as an entrepreneur. And so this business had increased their jobs. They had also increased their sales. They had increased investments so that they could expand their business and, of course, retain jobs. We looked at their involvement with the SBTDC and the services that they took advantage of as well. And so kind of looking at all of that, they were a client that utilized the service and truly had a good economic impact in our area and on our economy. So they won that award. We went up to Jefferson City on February 3rd. Senator Sater and Representative Justice both met with the clients and gave them a resolution. So it was a lot of fun for them to, you know, represent our area. So it was really neat. We have some pesticide applicator training coming up on the 12th, so this week, so people can call our office if they're still interested, 417-546-4431. The Master Gardeners are really gearing up for an exciting year. They have a spring gardening workshop coming up on Saturday the 14th, and then they also have a program on March 28th, a program on bluebirds. And so they can people can contact our office for both of those events. For the one this Saturday, Linda will probably direct them to the Stone County office to actually register, because they are taking the registrations over there. But, of course, they can call our office for information. So that's a glimpse of what we have going on.
Is there any participation in community gardening that we had, brought up a couple of years ago about, I think it was even covered by both newspapers about a location where they were going to do community gardening. I didn't know whether something like that might be something that you would get involved with also, that some of these things that we're talking about as far as the youth, if we had a designated area that could be used for them to go out
That's definitely a potential project for the Master Gardeners. I know a couple of years ago we did write a grant application to start some community gardens here locally, and had several partners throughout the community, and also had written in there, you know, the Master Gardeners would be assisting with that, and I believe we even put 4-H at that point. So we didn't get funded for that grant, but I know just from that application that there definitely is some interest there, so a potential project that both programs could really, you know, get on board with and make an impact.
We do have one school garden that we work with, so it's, so you would call that a community garden, and it's in Hollister. So that's one that we've worked with, but I think it would be great to do more community gardens. They're great educational gardens, and it's difficult to work with them in a school because you know the gardening year. But it's great if we can find more of those gardens in areas where there are, there are youth that are there more all year round, you know, where there might be, you know, apartment complexes or, you know, daycare centers or any time that the youth are in that community all year round, or, you know, subdivisions, anywhere that you can think that kids are there.
Boys and girls clubs.
Boys and girls clubs. Yeah, that's a very good example. Yeah.
I think our latchkey, they call them the latchkey children, are there even through the summer. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a really great example of where we can have a great community garden.
Yep.
A participation in any of these events that you have, if you would contact either one of the newspapers, I'm sure they would run something small in there that would maybe get the attention where you might get some more participants. So I applaud the Extension Council for what they do, and we are so fortunate to get the extra specialists that have came here. So really, really am excited about that.
And I also just recently checked on my schedule, and I will be able to take the appointment.
Great.
For the Extension Center. I thought I would be in conflict with other board appointments, but I am not, so.
Great. Well, we're excited to have you. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
And again, we appreciate both of you coming to our annual dinner very much. I hope you learned a little bit more about Extension programming.
I think I do every time. Because I went there, just always something.
Yeah.
Are you guys planning on doing anything with the classes downstairs and the computers?
We haven't talked to them in a while about that, so I can definitely reconnect with them on that. The last time we had talked, there was still renovation going on, and Road and Bridge was in there. But yes, if that's an interest that you guys have to try to start offering those classes again to both your employees and the public, we can definitely do that. I can make a phone call and okay. See if we can get some things scheduled, and yeah, I can do that.
They were just asking me.
Oh, good. That's great. Yes. I will follow up on that.
Like literally just now asked.
Okay, good.
The response is yes.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. Who is that asking you? May I ask? And should I contact that person?
I would probably just get with Mark.
Okay. Mark. Okay. I can do it. Perfect. Okay. Thank you for all the ideas, too.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I believe that's all we have on our agenda, except at 1:30 we will be addressing a drug court letter. So,
we have a daily staff review upstairs.
Yep. So we just need a recess until then and
yeah.
Go upstairs and a recess until 1:30.
So we have a...
You just need
all right, we're going to recess till 1:30.